Can't tell.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks for the opportunity to come speak to you guys tonight. It's been a long time since I've done something like this, so please be gracious. A little bit about me. Yeah, I play the drums. I'm married to my beautiful wife. We have two kids, and we've been going to UBC for about 4 years. And so I've really been blessed by my time here, and so I'm honored to try to return the favor to you guys. So today's text is going to be Isaiah 35:5, and we'll just go ahead and read it. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. So earlier this morning, Brad had a great sermon, and he kind of covered a good synopsis of Isaiah. It's kind of a good book that summarizes the Bible in total, because you get a lot of the prophecy and the fulfillment of the New Testament Christ that you see in Isaiah's scriptures. Then you also get the experience of the Old Testament, the Israelites constantly struggling with depending on the Lord and idols. And so you see a lot of that wrath and the kind of cleansing that God does in that Old Testament. And you see it in the various chapters of Isaiah. And then you also see in other chapters that the fulfillment, you know, the promise of the fulfillment of Christ, the promise of salvation. You know, Isaiah 53 comes to mind, but Isaiah 35 is kind of nestled into that second category of pointing us to the future reality of Christ. Of and, you know, as Brad kind of showed us this morning in Mark, pointing us to the future ministry of Christ and ultimately the gospel. So to guide the talk for the most part, I just wanted to take what Brad was doing this morning and kind of just spin it a different way. So Brad talked a lot about conversion, and we focused a lot about the physical way in which Christ represented that conversion and how that points us to a spiritual conversion or the spiritual need we have for conversion. And so while I think that was awesome and I think it was amazing, I'd like us to just take another look at that and consider it from the standpoint of a believer, someone as our church is, you know, as a body of believers coming to this word, having our eyes already been opened and our ears unstopped. You know, how do we respond to this? And the short version is, I think we respond by a continual need. We continue to come back and hear. We continue to come back and we continue to see. So that's kind of the main point here. So, and Isaiah points to this. You know, when we look at the start of the verse, it says then. And so it's already pointing to a different period of time, the future, and as we've kind of seen, specifically to Christ's ministry. And I think it's not a stretch to say that Christ's physical ministry modeled the spiritual ministry that's still going on. People are still being saved, and we are still in need of that spiritual healing, you know, in various areas of our lives. And so while we may be justified before God, there's still a very strong need for us to continue to come back and to be renewed, to continue to have those lenses of our eyes renewed so we can see the goodness of God again. So I think one of the main implications that I'd like us to focus on is what does that really mean for us? You know, what is that saying to us? And I think it forces us to take another look at God's word as something that we desperately need. It takes us to a point where we look at the gospel again and we realize that we never graduate from that. You know, we never get to a point where we're not spiritually needy. And so because of that, it's very important for us to continue to go back and to reassess ourselves against the scriptures and to have the Spirit move in our lives and to help us see the gospel again and to hear the gospel again in a new way. And I think it's not a stretch to say that God is continually renewing aspects of our lives, but you know, where a lot of us are very familiar with the phrase or the really it's a verse that faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. But I don't know if a lot of us would be able to say that continued faith comes by continued hearing. You know, I don't think it's as quick for us to realize the connection there. And so I think that's one of the things that we can meditate on and easily benefit from. I think God gives us what we need in the form of the scriptures, and he also gives us what we need in the form of the local body to help us view these things in the right way, to help us be reminded of the gospel. So we don't need to just hear the gospel to be saved. We need to be continually living a life of faith. How can we respond to this? What are some practical ways we can respond? Well, I think part of it is doing this. It's coming together, and it's meditating on the Word together. It's coming in the Sunday mornings, and it's worshiping together. It's sharing some of the burdens that we go through in life and some of the praises that we go through in life. It's living out the one another's of the Scriptures. I think that's one of the ways which we can live as a people who have eyes that are no longer blind and ears to hear, you know. It's applying those things which we are seeing and hearing in a corporate way and in an individual way through that. I think another practical way we can do this is by considering our testimony. One thing that kind of Brad mentioned this morning and something that I think is really helpful for us is as we try to remember the beauty of the gospel and to stay focused on Christ, one of the most simple ways we can do that is think about our testimony, and not only our own testimony, but the testimony of others. And so I think that's one way which we can live as a people encouraged by the gospel and constantly reminded of our dependence and our need for Christ. Another option we have, or I guess another way we can respond, is by cherishing another way we can respond is by cherishing the time we have together, but also by praying together and evangelizing together. So basically, as people that can see and as people that can hear, we should be moved to consider those that are not in the same state. You know, we have the beauties of the gospel. You know, Christ came and he died for us and he raised for us, and we by trusting in him and by believing in him, we now receive that payment that he made on our behalf. And so now we can know Christ and we can live in that reality. But there are people all over the place. You know, I know in my own family that don't have that same, that they don't live that same reality. You know, they don't understand the gospel. They don't see it and they don't hear it. And for me, I think that drives me to a point of praying for my family, for people that I know don't believe at my workplace. And it also causes me to consider how I can best witness to other people. You know, how should I look, how should I interpret this verse as someone whose eyes are open and someone whose ears are unstopped? Father, you're a good God, and we thank you so much for the work that you've done in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word, which you give to us to remind us constantly of our need. We thank you for the gospel, which is constantly addressing that need. We thank you for the work that Christ has done for us, Lord. We pray that as we meet together as a body continually, we would constantly be reminded of our need. We would constantly be in a position humbled and in a position desiring to continue to hear you, to continue to see you. Pray that this would affect all of our lives and every area of our lives. We pray that even as we prepare for Christmas and Advent, this would be a good time for us to remember you in that way. Pray that this week would be a week that we can live this out. And thank you again for this time together. In Christ's name.